Well, week 11, here we go. We're going to get into some fun stuff in this little segment. So hang on with me this week as we talk about becoming a behavior detective. And keep thinking about that cumulative project. It's just about there. So we're about to wrap some things up, and you're going to be able to submit that pretty soon. But launch with me now into becoming a behavior detective, and I want to talk a little bit about what some experts are saying can be a helpful framework for detecting what is going on, and that starts with realizing that all behavior is communication. So this is really important for us to know that nobody is coming at you with extreme behaviors just to make your day worse. They're coming at this because they're communicating something. What are they communicating? Well, let's have a look at what it can look like to communicate without using words. Infants are experts at this. You look at this young person, are they communicating perhaps an unmet need, an emotion that you should be aware of? How about this little guy? He's communicating something that looks to me like some pretty deep joy, and I love that he's holding a Bible as he expresses this. What about these two? There's some emotions being expressed here. Some distress, maybe overwhelm or sadness. There's an expression of sympathy or perhaps an apology happening. These behaviors, just the motions, and this is just a photograph. This isn't even noticing the sounds and the movements happening. This is just a quick snapshot of those behaviors. But we can tell a lot from a person about what they're trying to communicate as they move their body. And so I want to think about what is it that behaviors could be communicating to us. One expert by the name of Dr. Ross Green tells us that kids do well when they can. And he wrote a couple of books. One in particular called The Explosive Child. And if you have had an explosive child in your life, you probably know what that means. But we're just talking about what can be called big behaviors. And they can be communicating a lot, but I think quite often what they're communicating, in Dr. Ross's words, is it's communicating, I don't have the skills to deal with this. He says that kids do well when they can because they have the skills to do well, to meet the expectations, to cope with the pressure being put on them. And if kids aren't doing well, it's because they don't have the skills to meet the demands. They don't have the skills to cope with the pressure that's happening. And I think that can be true for all of us. What does it look like when you can no longer cope with what's happening in your life? That's when your emotions and your big behaviors start to come out. So I want to spend some time looking at behaviors and how we can interact with them in helpful ways. And that's going to lead me to something that I'm just going to call the ABCs that experts have identified, which is this. The antecedent, that's simply the thing that comes before, the behavior, which is of course the B in this, and then C is the consequence. Now that doesn't necessarily mean a punishment consequence or a reward. It just simply means that this is what led to the behavior. This is what caused that need for that communication to happen. This is the behavior that you're seeing, and then this is the consequence of it. Whether that was they were removed from the room, they got the snack, or right, whatever it was, or they got your attention even, and that was the consequence. That was what they were going for. So these can be intentional consequences or unintentional consequences, right? But it's always this pattern of antecedent, the thing that happens before, the behavior, and the consequence. And as we think about what behaviors are going on and what's the story here, I want us to think about the whole person, the whole group as well. So thinking about the person, the child, but the group dynamics as well, because it can be true that a behavior can be very upsetting for you as the leader, for example, but it's not actually disrupting the whole group. And so how you handle that might be differently. You might not actually stop what you're doing and deal with that behavior in a big way. You might simply flip something over to help address that with that one individual. Or maybe that behavior is really not even an issue for everybody else, so you don't need to deal with it right now, right? It just helps you to make some choices. But I also want to be thinking about the whole person. So the holistic view of, do they have what they need in terms of warmth and protection and food and their spiritual growth and, right, all of these kinds of things. So thinking about a whole person when we do interact with a behavior and thinking about what could be going on, what could this individual be communicating to me through this behavior? And I have a really helpful framework that I have learned from the restorative practices approach. And as Dr. Ross Green talked about, right, we do well when we can meet the demands that are on us. I look at this chart, and it looks to me and is designed to show that as demand or control increases, we need to also increase the level of support. Because if we are not engaging at all, we're in the not quadrant, and that has no or low challenge or expectations or engagement at all. We're not offering support or care. Quite honestly, we're ignoring or we're just surviving. Kind of think back to those stages of attitudes, right? That ignorance piece of we just don't even know. We're just not even engaging. And so we're not offering any kind of demands, any kind of support. We just don't engage at all. But if we increase the demand, the challenge, the expectations, the participation, without offering any support or care, that can lead to doing things to people, blaming and stigmatizing and kind of being a dictator in terms of our leadership, right? We're not helpful to people, but we just demand that they participate. We demand that they meet our expectations. This is the standard. What's wrong with you if you can't measure up? However, if we increase the support and we don't have lots of challenge or expectations, that can lead us to being rescuers. We're excusing behaviors, we might be reasoning with them, and we're doing things for people. That sounds a lot like that pity and care kind of attitude that we talked about way earlier in this course, right? And it's okay to do things for people sometimes. There are some things that we need to do for someone who maybe is not able to do that, and even any of us at any given time might need someone to do something for us. But when we continuously have no demand for their participation, no expectations for them, we're only doing things for people, that's honestly not very honoring either, as we've already talked about. So where we want to be is in the with quadrant, where we actually do have a high level of the challenge, the expectations, the demands and the control, but we're also matching that with a high level of support and care. And what that leads to is a collaborative environment in which we do things with one another. It's actually where the highest level of responsibility and accountability live, which may seem a little bit counterintuitive instead of that operating out of the two mindset of you do things to people. But when we're actually cooperative, there's a lot more co-responsibility happening along with one another. So think about this with me for a moment as we think about who God is. He sent Jesus as Emmanuel to be with us. And I'm pretty stunned by that. And I think, again, I want to follow the example of Jesus, the good teacher, the God who is with us. I want to be a leader who is with people of all abilities. And so as we follow his example, we want to live in this witness. That means that we think about the needs for support and the gifts that a person brings, and we match our level of engagement using their gifts and the demands that we have for their participation with the level of support that we offer to meet their needs for support, those pink areas, right? So I think it quite naturally all flows together and makes some good sense to say people are going to thrive and we're not going to have a lot of big behaviors if we have a good balance of demand and expectation met with the right level of support for their needs for support. So if you would agree with me in that, then I think we can move on into thinking about what does it look like to put some behavior strategies in place that are living in this withness, that are holding people accountable, that we are collaborating, that we are holding each other responsible for a community that is with each other, and that we're all saying, yes, you need to participate, and this is what that with the expectation is for your participation, but we're ready to support you and to lift you up and to help you meet that expectation so that you're not overwhelmed and frustrated and unable to cope with the demands on you. So we'll jump into more of these strategies and thoughts in the next section. Enjoy looking at some of the resources, and I'll see you in the next segment.